Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's BudPod 70. 70, what is that to you? 1970?
1970. That doesn't mean much to me, the year 1970. I mean, we could have done that with every episode.
That's true. There are very few numbers that aren't also years. That's one of those weird tricks. That you get
even the very big numbers eventually will be years, as long as the sun hasn't exploded. Yeah,
scientists theorize that even the year a million will eventually exist.
Well, I guess depending on what calendar you use, it already does. Probably by the dinosaur calendar, year million has been and gone.
Very, very hard to use dinosaur time as a way of excusing being late.
Sorry, yeah, you know how there's Arab time in the Middle East. I think it's called Arab time or Saudi Arabia time.
I
don't know.
I've heard this from people who used to live in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, which means like there's kind of no such thing as being late.
Yeah,
and if you say we'll meet at 4 o'clock, if everyone gets there at 7, then the meeting was scheduled for 7, like something like that, right? I wonder if said a similar thing.
Like it retroactively corrects itself.
Yeah.
That's quite good for to save pride, isn't it? That's quite good.
Well, I say we arrange it for 7. Well, yeah, me too. In that case, we're all early. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then you could just go, well, then we're all good, aren't we?
70 is also... What? Four score and no. What? How much is score? I was thinking about this. How many years is a score? Is it 20?
A score is 20, yeah.
Okay, so it's 4 score and minus 10. Okay, that doesn't work.
Three and a half score.
Three and a half score.
3 score and 10.
It's a shame we don't use score anymore. Yeah. I'm score years old. Come to my score birthday party.
My scorey first.
My scory first.
My sweet score teen.
I'm scory 8 years old. I'm from London. on a dating profile.
They've got a... Why their age gap is a score.
Have you heard
a celebrity?
Have you heard of... She's got a new boyfriend. Guess how old he is. 2 score older.
Yeah, celebrity, yeah, like a celebrity age gap thing, or like, do you have this? I've met sort of several people over the years who have said about themselves or about their friends, like, they only go for older guys.
Yeah.
But I mean like 20 years, 15 years older.
Right, yes.
I'm always fascinated by those people because they've clearly just, if you ask them about it, they've often like, been at that, like that's been their thing for a while, and I just admire. I think I admire anyone who has a category that they just go, that's what I go for, that's it.
And such a quantitative category.
Yes.
Not like nice eyes or good sense of humor. Mm. It's just certain number of years born earlier than I was.
Yes.
I admire that definitive attitude.
Yes. There's no debate about whether or not, oh, but do they seem, you know, really empathetic or not? It's like, are they 40? 40 or above. If not, I'm not even going to assess. I'm not, like, the process doesn't even start for me.
Especially as a middle-aged man.
Yeah.
It's the root one example of an unattractive person. Just like...
Yes.
What are you, a middle-aged man? It's never used in any kind of... admiring context.
No. No, it's never a compliment. And that's, but then often if you sort of get into, I've only ever met one person who goes for the older man who really means it across the board. The rest of them, essentially what they mean is, I do my best to find people who look like Pierce Brosnan.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, yeah, he's 40, whatever, but he's like, so if he's only more handsome because he has gray temples, you know, that kind of thing?
That's right, yeah.
Whereas I've only ever met one person who's like going for the ones who actually look like, just like a middle-aged businessman. just some guy, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. Well, yeah, so in those cases, for those people who are just looking for a sort of Pierce Brosnan, it's like, oh, you're not into older men. You're just into like, you're into handsome older men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's that joke about, oh, you know, whatever, women love beards or women love whatever. It's like, no, everyone loves a handsome or beautiful person with that thing.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like when people go, oh, glasses are sexy. And you go, well, let's look at what you're really saying here.
I think that's our friend and podcast Adam Hess's joke, isn't it?
Yes, that was it. That's what I was trying to think who did that. Yeah. No, it turns out they like handsome men with beards. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I don't know. I think I admire anyone who, yeah, quantitative, like you say, it's measurable. They can just say, this is it. Here's a category. Save myself some time.
That's why I kind of like, you know, people have like a height minimum. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I am tall and I usually exceed the minimum height required.
Mm.
But I kind of like just putting a number on it.
Yes.
But this is my tall privilege speaking, Pierre.
Well, it is. We're both tall privileged people.
That's right.
But I think I'm mostly envious of it because it must save a lot of time, I think.
Yeah.
They're not endlessly considering everything individually. They've got these big time-saving rules.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I'm just envious of anyone who knows themselves and knows what they want so clearly. Because you know me, I'm always so like, I dither so much and I always worry about, because as I've spoken about it before, I have a terrible fear of regret. And so it takes me ages to make a decision about anything. And I'd rather not even pick anything than pick something and find out I've chosen the wrong thing. So I just admire people who just go, yep, he's got to have a wrinkly face and a divorce under his belt.
Yeah.
And that's me, sorted.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, the key there, you've hit upon exactly what I was thinking. The key there is that they mean it. They haven't elected arbitrarily. So they really, really yes. mean that that's what they want. They don't go, oh, it would save time if I did this. They actually think it. The sincerity is the key, because if you don't mean it, like if I was to decide that I had a height limit, even though I don't care, it would just be like a false load of admin for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then if I met someone who was under or over the height, whatever it is, then I could be like, I wouldn't be like, well, who cares? Too bad. I would be like, oh, well, maybe I was wrong to pick that arbitrary rule.
Right, okay. So you admire them for actually sticking to the rules they set themselves?
No, because they mean it.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying, is that they didn't choose that rule. Okay. The rule chose them. That's what I envy most of all. Like Excalibur. Yes, exactly, like Excalibur. It's like how I don't have
Excalibur. That's their Sexcalibur.
Oh, yeah.
That should be the new term for a sexual proclivity you have no control over. That chose you. That's your Sexcalibur. I can only get an erection if my partner puts on a donkey mask, but that's my Sexcalibur.
Yeah. That's my Sexcalibur to bear. Well, that's exactly it, because I mean, yeah, that it's the sincerity of it, because they really feel it. That's the definitiveness that I envy, is because it's real. I can pick a rule as well as anyone, but it doesn't mean that I really think it. I'm just picking it. It's like how I don't need to give myself the rule not to eat broken glass. Like I'm not going to do that. I don't need to make a rule for that. I already don't want to do that. It's that level.
Right. Yes. I see.
Like it's absolutely instinctual, which I'm never sure if that's a word.
Instinctive. Yeah, I think it's instinctive, isn't it? My instinct are telling me it's instinctive.
Oh my lord! Have you seen? How are you feeling about the apocalypse? Just generally, we haven't talked about the apocalypse for a while because it felt like it was ending, and it's still there.
It's still there, but it's now sort of a background apocalypse, a backcopocalypse. It's sort of just humming away in the background. Melbourne has gone into lockdown again. You and I have some friends in Melbourne, and that's they were real cocky, those Aussies, for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Going, you in the UK, we thought, you know, you hit real bad. We just had a couple of weeks inside by the Barbie, and now we're back on the beach and drinking a beery.
Yeah.
But now they're all locked up again.
Well,
6 weeks apparently.
Yeah. Well, you can't scare coronavirus away with corks dangling from a hat. It's not enough, Australia. It turns out.
Yep.
Yeah, I think they Melbourne would be like the second smuggest. The smuggest is just the nation of New Zealand for just we did all our homework and now we're allowed pudding.
Yeah, good old New Zealand.
Yeah, whereas
I get as much as I like New Zealand, I get quite annoyed with the sort of cutesy automatic reverence for everything New Zealand does and every achievement it makes, and how well it's handled the coronavirus pandemic, as if it isn't a pair of isolated islands on the edge of the world with a completely self-sufficient agricultural economy.
Yeah. Well, it's just that syndrome that people, generally people in the West, but especially people in the UK have, of pick a country and make it Eden. It used to be Sweden.
Yeah. Yes, it was Canada, then it was Sweden.
Yeah.
And they both fucked up.
Yeah.
Because Trudeau wouldn't stop blacking up.
He wouldn't stop.
Sweden played chicken with the coronavirus. Yeah. And so now everyone has to go, well, it's not Canada, it's not Scandinavia. I guess we'll have to pick this sort of love child that Canada had with Scandinavia and put on the other end of the world.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like it's only just qualified to be the next country we groundlessly project our fears and hopes onto because of Jacinda Ardern, which everyone's just gone, yes, a leader who I don't know much about, but I've heard three good things, and that's enough.
She's very charismatic, very photogenic, obviously very good, very compassionate. But as I was saying to you, I've had to do some research. I did some research on Jacinda Ardern for a thing I'm writing, and I had no idea, but her party is in coalition with basically the New Zealand equivalent of Britain First.
Yes, yeah.
She's in a minority government. And I had no idea. You didn't know that.
Nope.
And if you didn't know something, you know, that means like 99% of people. If you don't know the exact makeup of a coalition government somewhere in the world, that means that 99.98% of people have no idea about it. And it just suddenly seems very convenient that we don't know about this coalition.
Yes, it is convenient. And the real truth is that on a macro international scale is don't have heroes.
Absolutely.
Don't do it because
and also you can have heroes, but with the understanding that politics is complicated, it's unclean, and it requires compromise. But I don't know, people aren't really into compromise right now.
No, and Anyone who never ever wants to compromise, I'm always disappointed to find out that they don't, you know, have a gun.
Wait. It's I see.
Because it's like, well, how do you propose to conduct any business?
Well, how do you intend on defending these principles you hold so dearly?
Or forcing them on others because others won't do them and you don't compromise.
So wait, so you're saying that you'd have more respect for someone online who believes that words are violence if they also owned a rifle to uphold that belief?
No, what I mean is like when someone says the things I believe are 100% correct and everything else is evil, right? If you really believe that, you need to act, don't you? So if you really believe that and you're not doing anything, then I believe that you believe that, but you're a lazy fucker. You're letting evil take over the world, according to you.
That's okay. Yes, and I this is similar to my feeling. I think I've maybe spoken about this before to you, about you and I have a friend, well, a few, I'm sure, both of us, who are very religious, like Christian.
Yeah.
And who, if they truly believe what they believe, must think that they believe that I'm going to hell. By their belief system, I'm going to, when I die, I will spend eternity being tortured by the devil. Yeah. And they haven't tried to convert me once. They haven't tried to save my soul. They haven't fought. They should be crying every day that I am not a Christian, because their friend is going to be tortured by demons in hell in smelly sulfurous flames for time immemorial. And but when they see me, they're like, "Hey, Phil." They should be crying their eyes out every time they see me.
Grabbing your collar, saying, "Phil, get it together." But it's like, I remember having a conversation in a bar once with someone who was saying that a politician they knew, like a politician who they were in a position to be able to sort of speak to or have access to, they were like, "Oh well, they're like a fascist. They're like an evil Nazi." I think they really are like an evil Nazi. And they were still just like sometimes hanging out with them.
Mm.
And it's like, well, sorry, you can't have breakfast with Hitler and still criticize him. You can't write a little blog called Breakfast with Hitler and be like, "Well, you'll never guess who was in a mood at brunch again, Hitler." If you're going to make big sweeping,
disappointed with his veggie sausages.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is it. And I mean, what I'm really saying is obviously not that I think everyone should have guns and not compromise and murder each other. What I'm saying is, I'm trying to point out that these people who like to speak in such uncompromising terms don't mean it. They just sound like the sound of it when it comes out their mouth. They never mean it. They will always compromise. So what? They're just grandstanding. It's meaningless grandstanding.
I don't know if you, I'm sure you have, but a few times I have met in person someone who I virulently disagree with online, and who online they present a completely concrete political, philosophical position. And when I meet them in person, they're like, "Yeah, I mean, I guess so. No, I suppose you have a point." It's like, what? You're supposed to be uncompromising about this. Which one is lying? Is the online version of you lying, or is this version, is the real life version of you lying about how you really feel?
You want to say to them, they call you the iron bastard. What are you doing? Where's your uncompromising fist? Yeah. I think the online version is lying.
I don't know, you know, I feel like we're more honest. Like, do you remember when Twitter first started and there was a saying, a sort of modern adage that on Facebook you lie to your friends and on Twitter you tell the truth to strangers?
Oh, interesting. I missed that.
Yeah, and I mean, people don't use Facebook anymore, but I think the second half of that adage has remained true. I think on Twitter you are honest, because we still haven't really computed in our monkey brains that our phones are public portals. It still feels very intimate. It still feels very personal. It feels like you're writing in a diary. So I think when you tweet something, I think you are being very honest.
I think that's true, except for public figures, though, because they're selling to the base, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're aware of your online profile as brand,
yes,
then I guess that doesn't hold as true. Well,
that's it. Yeah, you've got to be like, everyone's competing to be the purest and most thorough version of X brand, whether that
you're right,
whether that's, you know, Momentum or UKIP or anything like that. Everyone's trying to be like, well, I think it the most, and here's my book.
I suppose
you meet them in real life and they're like, well, changed. You know, you compromise, and you're like, well, not according to you.
Yeah, exactly it. Yeah.
And also, they just they basically are the same as any other Twitter user that isn't a famous person. They just see like a tweet from one of their ideological enemies, and it fucks them off. So they write a kind of really barbed, decisive tweet in the other direction, and then they have to like back it up, and then they have to be like, no, well, you know, maybe sometimes I do think that on the fucking Today program or whatever. It's just an endless cycle of people goading each other or themselves into further and further crazy statements. It's like a crazy merry-go-round.
I suppose it's also because it's not an active discussion, is it? It's turn-based. Like, it's a turn-based strategy game.
Yes, it's like media. Civilization.
Yeah. So you don't get to react in real time. You have to make your move. You write your post. You make your move. You let it sit there. And then you wait for your opponent's retaliation. And so compromise takes a lot longer to get to because you have to whittle through all these, you know, these ping-ponging takes or these ping-ponging assertions and positions until you eventually reach compromise. But you rarely reach a compromise.
It's all about getting engagement, getting those clicks, those sweet clicks.
It feels good. It feels good.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What do you think is the most like anodyne, meaningless position you could take on something that's not important that would get the most online response?
Well, dogs. I mean, we've spoken about before.
Of course.
The most abuse I've ever gotten online was for saying something about dogs. More than anything I've said about race,
well, it
or
was
politics.
More, it was more about like white British people and dogs, wasn't it?
Well, it's just about white people and dogs. It's about someone thinking the dog killing scene in Chernobyl. Spoilers is the most. There's the saddest thing about it, even though young men turn into jelly.
People melt.
And I just thought that was ridiculous. And people were like, what a heartless thing to say about actor dogs. What a horrible thing to say.
I love the idea that it's the kind of person where you'd say to them, and they dropped a nuclear bomb on Hiroshima and this many people died. And there's a blank face and you go, and 100 pet canaries. And they'd go, no. There were pets in the city.
And I don't like this idea that animals aren't sort of deserving of the fallout of war because they had played no part in it.
Mm.
Because it's a human war. But animals lost the original war against humans, didn't they?
They keep losing it. It's ongoing.
Like, every day they lose it. Every day a billion chickens lose the war all over again. It's frankly pathetic.
Yes, well, yes, exactly. It's something that troubles me where people, yeah, they have it, reflexively, they just have more empathy for a creature that they can command and trick with food than a person.
Well, exactly. It just betrays an inability to engage with any kind of nuance with your fellow human beings.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, their main gripe against humans as opposed to, say, dogs is that humans will disagree with them occasionally.
Yes, yeah. Every now and then a human will say, oh, shut up. Whereas those hungry dogs never say that. I think the opinion, the most pointless opinion I could share online to annoy people, and it's like, it's not true, I don't think it, but if I wanted to like engineer, you know, Katie Hopkins style, just trolling, it would be, I think it would be, all rice is bad.
All rice is bad.
Yeah. As you well know, Phil, I don't think that. But I think saying all rice is bad would annoy people who like rice. It would annoy people who think generalized statements are stupid. People would want to know more about what I meant, get lots of replies. Some people would project a race element onto it.
People would want to know what I meant.
It would become like people a race thing confused. Very quickly.
Maybe.
People would think it was a dog whistle.
That's my instinct, though, is that nothing would happen because Asian people actually have a very good sense of humor about this sort of thing and are not sensitive.
Oh no!
I think
as with all manufactured controversy, it would be a bored white person. a bored middle class white person would quote tweet it and go, "Oh, well, well, well."
And I think any Asians who saw it would just project their own less favored rice into what you were saying. So if a Chinese person saw you write rice sucks, they'd go, yeah, basmati does suck. And then if an Indian person saw it, they'd go, yeah, jasmine is bullshit. You know, we just project
They'd look at it and they'd go, oh, he's white and he lives in the West. Yeah, the kind of rice that those people eat is a horrible mush.
Yeah, Uncle Ben's is not good.
I mean, Uncle Ben's
what
is
will
not
Uncle
good.
Ben's be now? It's not good for a number of reasons. Yeah,
Uncle Ben is, and he's gone now, isn't he?
Yeah, that's what. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think Uncle Ben's is gone.
I think he's gone. We never had the pancake syrup lady over here.
Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, that was never in the UK, yeah. Was it?
No, I don't think so.
Did you have that in Malaysia?
No, never seen Aunt Jemima.
I think it's just an American thing.
Yeah, I think it might be.
I don't think that you get many. The only British Jemima is the puddle duck, which is annoying because it's a goose, which is another Hess observation.
Puddle duck? What's puddle duck?
Jemima Puddle Duck.
Eh?
Eh? It's a kid's book.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Must have passed me by.
No, Phil, you've never you're so ignorant of a lot of the greatest works of literature.
Yeah, I never got to the classics. I just never committed. I should.
You just love magical realism. Yeah. Yes. I think that would get traction. I don't know. I think enough people would take it the wrong way or find something weird about it that it might get traction.
About you saying all
right. I need to get more online traction, Phil. I want to become a troll.
Yeah, give it a go. I think it'd be really fun. I mean, I get tempted so often to just start an anonymous account and just go full troll. Because the few times I've dabbled with my own account have been so intoxicating and addictive and fun. I totally see why people do it.
It's probably, that's probably why a lot of the people like that do it. Like, it's a real thrill. Like, one of our other guests, Glenn Moore, has met and worked with Katie Hopkins, and he was saying that she would always just behave as if it was just like she didn't even mean any of it.
Yeah, he says she's actually very nice in person.
Yeah, and she would just think of it. And then I've seen lots of interviews with her where she kind of explains that she almost starts from the point of view of like, oh, what would no one say about this? Like, what would be an unsayable, like, it's such an abstract thing because of whatever is wrong with her, God knows.
Yeah. But, yeah, is it performance art, technically, what she does?
She's like De Antwoord.
Yeah, maybe, but then I guess if it sort of incites violence, then...
That just makes the art more powerful, Phil.
Perhaps.
Yeah, but I can see
why... she's gone now.
Eh?
She's gone now. She's lost her... She can't tweet anymore. She's lost her Twitter profile. I don't know if that... Oh, it'd be interesting to see if that really finishes her professionally. Because I suppose that was her sort of final bastion, wasn't it?
Yeah, because she doesn't write for a paper anymore.
And does she have a radio show anymore? No.
No. Maybe she's done. Where will she get her kicks from now?
I don't know. I mean, she seems pretty resourceful.
Yeah, she'll find a... Even in lockdown, she will go up to someone's window, just tap, and you'll just hear muffled things about immigrants.
She might start doing cameos. You know that cameo thing you can... Cameos for racist people.
Maybe. 50 quid and she'll say something outrageous about a topic of your choice.
That's
her whole career
it's
anyway.
That's true. To be offensive for money. I mean, it's not completely out of the remit of the modern world for that to happen.
Maybe that's going to become like our version of the 2 minutes hate from 1984, where it's like, you can't actually hate anyone, but there's like special like celebrities who are like kind of hate workers, and you have to like sort of you hire them, and in private they say all these horrible things.
Yeah,
and it becomes like the new pornography. Everyone goes and shuts themselves into a little cupboard and gets their hate on.
Yeah, gosh, maybe that could happen. That'd be fun.
I guess that's kind of Twitter if you follow the right accounts.
That is right. That is true. Do we talk about Twitter too much? I worry that we talk about Twitter too much.
Maybe, but the trouble is...
I mean, what else is there to talk about for the last few months? We haven't seen each other in person for 3 or 4 months.
It's also
and
like...
every social interaction I have is online.
Yes. And also, I think you get the right to discuss Twitter in serious terms when the most powerful man on earth uses it to alter the stock market.
That's true.
I mean... He single-handedly has turned it into like, there's a shortcut to the most powerful man in the world and his insane thoughts, and we can all just look at it. It's fucking mad. I mean, can you imagine the sort of shit Nixon would have come out with if he'd just been happy tweeting it? I mean, holy shit. If you go back...
I wonder this, how do you think Twitter feel about Donald Trump being on there? They must be happy about it.
Do you think it's like if you're a small-time restaurant owner and suddenly like you run a little Italian bistro and suddenly like the most terrifying mafia guy is there like every Friday?
Mm.
And it's a huge compliment and it's amazing for business, but also, oh, fuck.
Also, yeah, you know you're protected against all the other mafia men, but you know you can't cross this mafia man.
Yeah. And also, you're protected as long as you keep the restaurant how he likes it.
Yeah. I guess it would be like that.
Yeah, no refurbishing the fucking dining booth when Al Capone is around.
Kanye West says he's going to run for president, but yeah. It surely is too late. He can't, can he?
I think you can.
Really?
I think
but
so.
But all the primaries are done.
But he's not running for a party. The primaries are just an internal party thing.
So as an independent, you can like sign up any time before election day.
I guess so. I mean, like the primaries are literally like party membership card carrying members only voting. It's not the public.
I don't know. I thought I saw somewhere that he'd missed deadlines. So there are forms you have to fill in and applications you have to submit, and it's too late. But who knows?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Or has he just announced it to get like a boost for his whatever insane piece of clothing he's trying to sell now?
I think he means it. I don't think that necessarily means it's going to happen.
I think he means what he says as he says it. I don't know if he means it forever.
Right. No, yeah. That's true.
I, And again, we're only aware of that news through Twitter. And his Kim Kardashian signaled her support by quote tweeting it with the American flag emoji. That's the world we live in now.
Yeah, of course, you're right. You're right. Twitter is the real world now.
It's all we have because of the disease, Phil.
Which disease? COVID or our own mental illness that keeps us on Twitter?
Ooh, very nice. I just meant the pandemic, but you know what, Phil?
Ah.
You've seen depths that I did not even realize were there.
That's why you have me on this podcast every week. That's why you keep getting me back on.
Merlin over here.
Yeah.
But I need to get more online, Phil, more online traction, because I'm Twitch streaming now.
Yes, you are the new Twitch king.
I'm the new king
of Twitch.
The
internet. I really wanted to watch, but I don't have a Twitch account.
I think you can still go on the website.
Oh, can you? And just watch?
I think so.
And does it stay up? So, like, yesterday you played Age of Empires 2.
Yeah, you can watch that. Yeah, I think it should still
be up
there.
Okay, so I can just... Oh, nice. So I can just go on Twitch and watch you play Age of Empires.
Yes, and it was quite good, actually. And I've had to turn a corner of my bedroom, my desk, into a real virgin's desk. With all the computer kit and stuff to play fancy games. I mean, not the Age of Empires 2 is a fancy game visually, but very nostalgic to go back to. All the sound effects were there, Phil.
Did you have to buy a new copy, or is this like your own original copy?
I already had the 2019 Definitive Edition.
Yeah,
with the free DLC of advanced graphics, Phil.
And you can see people watching. They can like type comments and stuff as you're playing.
There's a chat room. Yeah, I bought a new computer screen, and now my old computer screen is like the chat window screen. I've got two screens. It's my bedroom.
Wow.
Looks like I've never known the sexual touch of another human being.
Oh, neat. So how regularly will you be on Twitch now?
I'm going to try and do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. But something like that. I'm definitely going to do Medieval Mondays and Warzone Wednesdays.
Does it have to have some alliteration for you to do it?
I've done my
what
best.
What could be on Tuesday? Turn-based strategy Tuesday?
You could do Total War Tuesday.
Total War Tuesday, which is an part turn-based.
Yes, part turn-based. Thinking Thursdays.
Well, what games would that be?
I've got some really good puzzle games, like sort of mystery games, riddle games, puzzle games. Stuff like Return of the Obra Dinn, Talos.
I might have to get these.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they're very good. And I think Twitch is a format because you ideally you should Twitch stream for like at least, 2 hours, I think.
Mm.
Solving mysteries would be quite a nice thing to do with like a group. It would be like an escape room where everyone else is just a chat room members and you're sort of in control of it, which would be quite nice. It'd be a more coordinated approach to solving mysteries. I've even managed to set up a green screen. I managed to buy one of those green cloths and rig it up behind me.
Oh wow! And what's your backdrop?
I just cut myself out of it, so I'm a floaty head boy in front of the game.
Okay. In the corner, not just all over the screen.
I can be wherever I want to be, Phil. With this technology.
Oh, neat. Oh sweet.
Twitch streaming.
Okay, great.
On the moon.
Well, I'm going to watch that. And PodBuds, you should also check it out with me. I'm going to start a Twitch where you can watch me watch Pierre's Twitch.
Wanglebox. Or Gogglefill. So do if you want to watch me, even if you don't, listeners, it would be a real help in terms of me becoming the king of Twitch if you just signed up and followed the account, even if you don't watch.
If only to really enjoy your wonderful Age of Empires graphic, which has your face in all three generals' heads.
yes. My younger sister photoshopped me a logo for Age of Empires.
Oh, I didn't see that pun.
There was so one is just Pierre Plays Twitch, and the other one is Age of Empires, which is the name of the stream. It's harder than I remember, man.
Really?
Maybe the AI is smarter now.
Do you reckon they've upgraded it?
Yeah. Well, when I set up a skirmish mode, there was a thing where it said you can choose your enemy can be the AI, the CD AI, or the HD AI.
What?
I'm not sure what that means. I think they mean there's a new AI, or you can have like the old CD game, you know, 2002. So
the CD AI, yeah, that's the original AI.
Yeah.
And then HD AI is your hard drive AI, which you can download and update.
I think
I'm guessing.
I think it's just because they released an HD edition in like 2009.
Oh, I see. I presume it's like the AI you can download and store on your hard drive.
Imagine that, the ghost in the machine who you fight in a little medieval war.
Yeah, interesting.
It'd be fucking great. But yeah,
what's your army of choice? What's your civilization of choice in the old Age of Empires?
They've added a load of new ones, Phil.
Oh, really?
I had no idea how far they'd gone.
Scientologists?
Yes. They've added mole people. They've
Tom Cruise is a very powerful unit.
Tom Cruise is a very powerful unit. He costs 2,000 food to build.
Which is strange for such a short man, but he has a very high metabolism.
And he does his own stunts, so he actually did the mo-capping.
Stunts, yeah.
He did the mo-capping for his own character in Age of Empires 2.
Great.
Yes, mole people, you can play as Predator. Oh, imagine that. I'd love that.
Yeah.
No, they've added like Indians, like Malians, Portuguese, Magyars, Lithuanians.
Wow.
There's shitloads.
Nice one.
And like niche ones from a long time ago as well, like sort of very sort of. It's the most confusing thing about Age of Empires, because you're sort of playing as like the Celts, which sort of implies that you're, what's that, circa the year 300?
Mm.
And then you're playing as the Portuguese, so you're like, right, so 1500s.
Yeah.
What is this about?
Imbalanced.
Yeah, don't really. It's very unclear. They just sort of go, well, all of it.
It was the age of empires, the Celtic Empire.
You know, history, right, guys? Yeah, very vague.
It was a specific age of empires.
That one age where there were empires.
We all know the age.
You remember the one.
Great. Well, I'm going to check that out.
Yes, please do. Shall we do some correspondence?
Yes. Yeah. Age of Correspondence.
Age of Correspondence.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls, correspondence.
We've had a lot of kind words for the Raw Chicken Fight Club story from last week.
Yes, such a reaction for Raw Chicken Fight Club.
It's a really fantastic tale.
I actually like read it aloud. Yes, well, I read it aloud to friends in the park.
Okay.
Like something from the Victorian era. And
did they enjoy?
As I was approaching the climax of the reveal of the boxing gloves, they were giddy. They were saying, "What could it be? Oh God, what's it going to be?"
And you never see it coming. That's what's
never
great about
see
that
it
story.
Coming. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you can't predict that. That was what made it so mind-blowing. And once I revealed it to them, they said, "You could have given me 1,000 years and I wouldn't have known."
Yeah, exactly.
We have an old email from Joseph. A quick little old email from Joseph.
Joseph, on you go, Zeph.
Joseph, on you go. Yes, very nice. Last name, please. Oh, no, it's from Johnson. Sorry. He wants to be called Johnson.
Johnson.
Yes.
He said, Johnson.
He said, last name, please, Pierre. I think you should encourage this anyway to give the podcast a school vibe.
Okay. So we're not using
Listen
his
here,
first
Johnson.
Name. Johnson. Yeah. Yeah, the Johnson's less of a school vibe, more of a American detective vibe, isn't it? Johnson?
Yeah, or a radar control room. Well, military film.
There's some sense of emergency with Johnson.
Johnson?
Yeah.
It's always quick. Johnson? It's never, no one ever asks a guy called Johnson, like, Johnson?
Johnson, what are you doing?
I know who'd like a slice of cake. Johnson. It's never this way. Johnson! It's always impatient with Johnson, with that Johnson boy.
Yeah.
So, he says, dear Butt Pod, or if this has already been done, dear Plip and Plop.
They're both good. I think the Butt Pod, I think that's... Surely that's been done before, but I can't remember it. Butt Pod.
I don't know if it has, you know, Butt Pod.
That's one of those when you think, surely that's been done, but the real genius is finding the obvious which no one has noticed.
That's it. That's it. Mm. He says, like Phil, I have a vaguely penis-related name.
Yes, I was about to say Wanga Johnson. Now that would be a detective double team.
Yes, that would be good. That would be good.
Wanga Johnson, yeah.
Wanga Johnson. Get Wanga Johnson on this. He says, however, we're both on the mild end of the spectrum and don't know real trauma.
I'd say that's true, yeah.
He says, I once knew a guy called Sandy Cobbledick.
Sandy Cobbledick.
Sandy Cobbledick.
Cobbledick. Cobbledick. You know who'd like some of this cake? Cobbledick.
Cobbledick. I think it sounds like a kind of made up name, like something you accuse someone of being, like a Rip Van Winkle.
Okay.
So you'd be like, well, you're a regular Sandy Cobbledick over here. Cool your jets, Sandy Cobbledick.
Poor Sandy Cobbledick.
Poor Sandy Cobbledick. He has subsequently changed.
So Sandy's a. Yeah, I guess. Hey, actually, I did know a guy Sandy once.
We've met a Sandy.
Is it Alexander? Is it Alexander? Ooh, Sandy?
Sandy. Maybe it is. I've never thought of that. I was always just happy enough to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me, Phil. He has subsequently changed his name completely and become a born again Christian, as well you would.
Wow. Wow, imagine having a name that drove you to find God and to any excuse to change my name.
Yeah, it's like, you get your name when you're baptized. It's like, well, I'll do it again.
Roll the dice again.
I'm penis throbcock. Oh, no. Like it's randomly generated. Drippy Shaftsman? No!
That's even worse than the last time.
That's worse than... I want to be Sandy Cobbledick again! So he says, your podcast has got me thinking. There are loads of penis names, but hardly any vagina-based ones. Obviously, there's Fanny, but is that it? It's not fair.
That is a good point. Well, I mean... This is also a symptom of us simply having fewer words for vaginas. We're so penis obsessed as a species that, you know, there's just more to play with in terms of penis.
Fanny, pussy galore, but that seems like a cheat.
No, yeah, that is.
You can't make up you can't just call someone cunt Hendrix.
No. I've tried to. What about, like,
it'd be a strong fucking name to introduce yourself with.
Cunt Hendrix. now that's an unlucky baptism. Cunt Hendrix? God, how did I even get in the mix? All right.
Yeah, my father stubbed his toe while he was telling the nurse what to write down on the form.
Joanna Muff? Muff? Does Muff come up as a name ever?
Muffy? Muffy is one of those weird old names that doesn't happen anymore.
Okay, I wonder why.
I think
Muffy.
I'm gonna look up Muffy. Hope I don't. I'm not gonna click on the image. Yeah, Muffy. Muffy is even a character in Animal Crossing.
Okay, well, there you go.
There you go. It it is a sheep that wears earmuffs. There you go. With a big muff. That's how they got the name. Oh, I think Muffy is the name in English.
He's right. There is no... There aren't many vagina names, but that is more to do with us not being as obsessed with the vagina as we are with the penis. And it's a damn shame.
Yeah, it is a damn... It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame. Is there a pre-existing name, Phil, that we can think of that is... we can just start from now on? Like, we can decide is from now on like that, more vagina-based?
I guess that's what happened to Johnson, isn't it? Like, how did Johnson end up meaning a penis?
Mm. Yes. Someone must have decided. What about Sally?
Your Vera. How about Vera?
Vera. Yes, that's just out of date enough that anyone who objects is too old and weak. We can ignore them.
And it's got the V in it. Vera, I think. Yeah.
Put your Vera away. Oh, put your Vera away, will you? It's hard to say Vera away.
Right in the Vera. Yeah. Ooh. That got me right in the Vera. Yeah. My vote's for Vera.
That's good. I'm in favor of Vera. Oh, she fell over and her Vera fell out.
Have you ever seen a vagina up here?
It's a kind of like a long straw, isn't it?
A straw.
Like a proboscis, no?
Oh, God.
I like the fact that when someone's vagina does accidentally come out and become visible, people do still say fell out, as if it has, like, there's enough to fall.
Yeah, sure.
Dick and balls fall out. They flop around.
Yeah, they do. It's ghastly.
But it's because it's too weird to say that she fell over and her vagina appeared.
Appeared, yeah. Like a ghost.
Yeah. Like it wasn't magician on her body until then.
Yeah.
No, you've got to say fell out, I'm afraid. We're stuck with it. Someone's Vera fell out.
What's important is that we're having the conversation.
It's important to have these conversations in these unprecedented times.
That's right.
Johnson has a coolest uncool and uncoolest cool suggestion.
Yeah.
So he says...
Oh, go on then, Johnson. Spit it out.
What is it, Johnson?
Spit it out, Johnson. What is it?
Coolest uncool glasses. So
yes,
he says they're inherently...
Yes.
Yeah. They're inherently nerdy, but they come in a range of interesting styles that enhance or mitigate people's weird heads.
That's true, and I can speak from experience that... It took me so long to embrace glasses, you know, and to my detriment. I mean, at like high school and university, I thought, oh, I'll just get the really thin frames because then it'll be like I don't have glasses at all. Maybe people won't even notice I'm wearing glasses if they're really thin.
Secret glasses.
But they looked awful. They make my eyes look all narrow and weird. And then I went, you know what, I'm just going to go the other way. I'm just going to have big-ass frames. And now I have these big 80s serial killer frames. And I look so much better. They're so much cooler because it's obvious I've embraced my short-sightedness, which is the coolest thing you can do.
Yeah, you know what you're about.
Mm-hmm.
And you're about seeing.
Never let it be said that I'm not into seeing.
Well, Phil's one of the most lookinest mans I know. Uncoolest cool. Big unkempt fisherman beards, but with immaculately coiffured hair. So,
yeah,
a huge,
the kind of
frizzy beard. But with
the kind
hair.
Of guy who works in a barbershop that is putting too much effort into the old worldy gentleman aesthetic.
Yes. Yes.
It's like a barbershop called, you know, Sam's Hair Shed.
The word emporium is thrown around a lot.
Emporium, and there's things in jars.
Yes.
They put their like combs in jars, and the guys have gelled hair, but as Johnson says, big old beards. They're all wearing suspenders.
Yes.
And
as he points out, it indicates that the scruffiness of the beard is studied artifice, which is the most depraved form of cool.
Interesting. Interesting. Yes, I think that's a very good point. I've never been able to enter those places because I can't grow a beard. So to me, they've always had the vibe of a members' club I'm not allowed in.
Yes, well, you're coming as close as you've ever come during lockdown.
Yeah, it's still not close. I mean, it's still appalling, my facial hair.
I think your mustache is coming along. It's definitely, it's trying. It's doing its best to come out there. You're just stopping it.
And that must be the most patronizing thing you've ever said to me.
I think it is.
Your mustache is coming along.
It's coming along. Because when I first knew you, you didn't really have to shave.
That's true. That's true.
It wasn't something on your schedule.
That's right. There's like a 19. Maybe once a month I had to give it a quick glide.
Yeah.
But now I do have to do it every 2 days.
You were a monthly days, glider.
That's right. I called it my time of the month when I had to shave.
Yeah. Whereas now, as you say, every 2 days. I mean, that's, you know, as a rate increase.
That's true. That is an improvement. Thank you. Thank you for your support.
Guys, do tweet your support. Let's get people talking. One last bit of correspondence. It's a bit of tat and a bit of story from Carl.
Ooh, lovely. I haven't had any tat for a while.
Yes. So Carl says, "Dear Peas, greetings from New Zealand, founding farters and first-time writer.
Sorry about all the stuff you said about New Zealand back there. We are fans, really. Just not fans of the goo-goo-ba-joo attitude that everyone outside of New Zealand has for it."
Yes. Everyone in New Zealand is perfectly sane regarding their country. As opposed to us who get obsessed. One piece of tat. He says, however, Phil, he won't be offended. You'll be glad to know. Because he says, "I'm Austrian Chinese."
Huh? Well. I suppose we didn't have to apologize for the whole New Zealand thing after all. Chinese. Man, Austrian that is Chinese. One authoritarian person.
That is a stern guy.
Cool, Austrian Chinese.
Coffee and tea.
Carl, the Australian Chinese. Yeah, coffee and tea.
So he says, "I'm Austrian Chinese. Growing up in Hong Kong, I'm more affiliated with my Chinese side." He says, "People often had Austria muddled with Australia." Yeah. And he says, "I thought it would be funny to educate people about the difference between the two countries in an attempt to clarify the misunderstanding. During a visit of my Austrian family, I purchased a tote bag with the classic kangaroo road sign, but captioned, no kangaroos in Austria."
This tote bag already exists.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture of it right now, Phil.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So it's a black tote bag.
Yeah.
And on the side, it has a yellow diamond.
Mm-hmm.
Like the kangaroo road sign you see in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says, "No kangaroos," and then under the kangaroo silhouette, "In Austria."
Okay.
It's very clear on its message.
Yeah.
So he says, "I was 16 and I was ashamed of this purchase for quite a while. However, a bag is a bag, and it did come in useful from time to time. I'm a
that
teacher."
That's true,
now.
A bag is a bag. That's that classic Austrian certainty.
A bag is a bag. This is Austrian side coming out there, yeah.
It is nothing else.
You will observe it's a bag. It is a bag. So he says, "A bag is a bag, and it came in useful from time to time." He says, "I'm a teacher now, and during the summer holiday, I brought the bag to the office. The principal saw my bag in the distance and complimented me for, quote, showing solidarity with our mates across the ditch. I was confused for a second and quickly became embarrassed.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, for lame tat.
Oh, so the ditch is what Australians and New Zealanders, this equivalent of the pond for us, is it?
I think so, yeah.
Or the channel, the ditch.
Yes.
Okay.
So he said he became embarrassed because the lame tat had nothing to do with the Australian bushfires. We had a chat, and I'm sure that during the chat he had a closer look at the tat. However, he did not mention anything and kept it cool.
Yeah, that's good of him.
Yes. So, and he's got one poo story.
Okay, great.
Or sort of a general vibe. Pool lifeguard is an uncool, cool job.
Pool lifeguard. Uncool, cool. Yes, because you're hench, you can swim, you're active, but you're a prefect.
Yeah, and you're the boss of the water.
You're fucking grass. You're a grass. You're a water cop.
You're a water cop. You're a goddamn elevated snitch. Snitching on the ocean.
You're a wet snitch.
You're a wet snitch. Johnson. Says pool lifeguard is an uncool, cool job. Having been in this occupation for 7 years, I have seen it all. It was cool to be able to use my skills and make a difference in some life-threatening incidents. However, most incidents were not life-threatening. Most incidents involved feces.
Yeah.
Pool poo police.
It's a pool poo.
The pool poo popo. He says, he says, code brown in a spectrum of consistency, color, buoyancy, and quantity.
Gosh, yeah.
We have had a few members of the public rushed into the facilities with dripping shit from their trousers, tracing from the streets to our changing rooms.
Go.
Quick, get in the pool. Other than
get
cleaning
him out
up
of
poo,
here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other than cleaning up poo, we also had to deal with the pervs.
The pervs? Okay.
Yeah, trespassing the dirty little boys and girls who were doing creepy things under the bubbles in the spa pool.
Wow. Pool poo pervs.
Pool poo pervs. Pool poo pervs for the pool poo poo popo.
Oh no. Okay, so they were he had to look out for poos, pervs in the pool.
Let me tell you what it's like to be a lifeguard, Johnson. It's poos and pervs. Like it's like drill camp, drill sergeant. Like, I bet you all thought it was gonna be
Baywatch. And the one thing you gotta and of course the one thing you have to remember is a perv is a perv. And a poo is a poo. Nothing more, nothing less. And they should be treated as such.
There was a perv, you will remove the perv. Like you will remove the poo when there is a poo.
Take the poo and put it in your bag. A bag is a bag and a poo is a poo.
Yes, he says, in the dimmed light of the sauna and within the vapor of the steam room, I have seen it all.
Gosh. Oof.
Yeah. Perverts okay. In the mist.
Oh, no.
Having to fight your way through the steam to catch a presumably wanking man.
Wow.
He doesn't say I'm just guessing.
Catch a pool predator.
pin a pool predator.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Says, glad I'm no longer in this bum bum job.
He had to feel his way in the mist for a predator in the steam. Gosh.
Pouring sweat like a jungle explorer.
Oof.
Yeah. Says, glad I'm no longer in this bum bum job. Hope you're well during the lockdown. Okay, thank you. Keep hitting planes.
Keep tracking it. Keep hitting planes. Is that a Kiwi thing? Or an Austrian thing? Is that the Austrian slang?
Our metaphor for masturbation is hitting planes, because in both cases it would be a disaster. There are two things you mustn't do.
Hitting planes. Maybe we'll figure it out.
But thanks, Carl. Hope you're all right in I wonder if he. He's in New Zealand. He's in New Zealand. But yeah, Austrian Chinese. That's the first. That's the first I've heard of it.
Carl Jung. He could still be called Carl Jung.
Yeah. Yes, he could be Carl Jung.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of restaurant tables when he's in Austria. I thought he was dead. Well, he's coming tonight.
He looks different.
Wait a minute, you're a lifeguard. All right. I've got to go because I've moved the recording thing into my room for all my tech. All my tech is now in one corner of my room. And you know what I've learned about my room, Phil? Is that if you leave the window closed so that you can record BudPod and you leave the big computer on, it's not dissimilar to one of the hot little rooms that Carl was catching wanking people in.
Right, of course. Yeah. I understand. You must be sweating.
I'm going to go and try and reventilate my hot little flat. What are you going to do for the rest of the day, Phil?
I'm off to record a TV show. I'm going to in the studio for the first time since the lockdown began.
Socially distanced celebrity.
Yes. Nice. So that should be interesting.
And you probably can't tell us what it is, but when will it be on the air? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. Well, just keep an eye on every channel.
Watch all the channels. Keep an eye on your TV guide there. Put a Google alert for Phil Wang
television.
Television.
A thank you to a listener on Twitter who was asking if we have a significant time delay when we're recording this. We don't. It's just that one or the other of us is just having a think.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think people think enough on podcasts. So I really give everything a good think. But I know what you mean. Sometimes I listen back to these podcasts and I go, come on, Phil. It doesn't take that long, does it?
And every now and then when there's like a really big gap, I will edit it down.
It's also because we can't see each other, so it's harder to tell when someone's actually done saying something. You don't realize how much is sort of conveyed in just facial expressions and physical demeanors, you know.
Yes. If this was a sci-fi movie, it would turn out that one of us was just like was long dead and had just been recording a podcast with either a robot voice or their imagination.
Yeah. Either way, it'd be a tragic, tragic conclusion.
What a twist.
What a twist.
All right. Well, thanks, Dead Phil or Robot Phil.
Does not compute, but I'll see you next week. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, man.
Talk to you all other people listening in next week.
Don't
catch
diseases filming.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Try not to. I'll try. Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.